Your work week is over.
The plant called and said if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend.
This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to The Last Word. It is Friday, January 27th. Cold as hell outside. Let's go. Let's talk some Colts. We're going to do that with myself and Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. We're brought to you by our friends FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today. You can make every moment more. Let's tell you what's coming up tonight. Maytay is here, and we're going to be talking about the Colts' ongoing head coaching search. We're going to preview the conference championship games on Sunday, but we got some horseshoe headlines coming up. And head coach tracker, let's start off of the Colts beat for 1 second, Matt Taylor. Frank Wright, the first head coach to be let go last season, is now the first head coach hired for a position this upcoming 2023 season. Kind of weird how it works sometimes in the NFL.
No question about it. Yeah, the first domino to fall in the coaching search or the coaching vacancies that happened on Thursday. Frank Reich goes to Carolina, so congratulations to him. Back to, you know, one of his former homes as a player. He was the first starting quarterback in Panthers history. Now he's the head coach.
Yeah,
and it's just a great story for Frank. I mean, we all know Frank. I mean, character, his coaching acumen. And, what he did for the franchise, from 2018 to, the middle part of this past season, handled himself with a lot of class, a lot of character, and not surprised at all. He is the first guy off the board to now lead the Carolina Panthers. So congratulations to him and best of luck, no doubt.
Congrats, Coach. That is Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. I'm Jeffrey Gorman. This is The Last Word. Maytay, let's shift gears. Let's get closer to home here for a second. The initial list of candidates for the Colts head coaching position was the highest candidate pool for a team with head coaching openings in the last 4 years. They've talked to everybody and plus cousins of people that they've talked to. They brought in everyone. Now listen, every candidate, that's 13 of them, is a coordinator in the NFL, except for Jeff Saturday. The Colts are considering 4 offensive coordinators, 6 defensive coordinators, 2 special teams coordinators, and 2 former head coaches. Now, that's getting whittled down. They're kind of in the second phase of this stuff, so yeah. I know that big list, Maytay, is getting chopped down pretty quick.
Yep, no doubt about it. So here's what we know so far. Like you said, 13 candidates in the first round of the interview process and the search. And then, according to NFL rules, teams are prohibited from meeting with a coordinator or assistant coach this week if his team advanced to the conference championship games. So that second interview can take place next week. And the Colts do have initial candidates coaching on Sunday in both the AFC and NFC title games. So the second round of interviews will linger into next week. And then going forward, assistant coaches on teams that make the Super Bowl can have a second interview either in person or virtual between January 30th and February 5th, but only if they had already had an interview with teams. So if the Colts are interested in a candidate that's playing in the Super Bowl, if they haven't talked to that person already, they can't until the season is over. So I know it's hard to kind of follow some of these rules, but that's what they are. And also going forward, Jeffrey, it's safe to say and expect that Jim Irsay is going to be part of the discussions from here on out. So, like you said, things are progressing, but I think this is going to be a continual process. I expect it to go until at least February, but things, like you said, are definitely moving into phase 2, if you will, and they're starting to progress and go forward.
Hey, Mattiocci, when does this get to the sense of urgency time? When is it like, hey, candidates are going off the board, we need to hire someone?
Well, I think the first domino fell on Thursday, right, when Frank Reich was hired in Carolina. So some of the names linked to the Colts are also being linked to other teams as well. All of these other teams are likely going to wait until next week as well, because they're going to want to wait to talk to some of the coaches that are in action this weekend. But as soon as one of those teams pulls the trigger, then dominoes are going to start to fall, and the sense of urgency obviously will start to grow. And these coaches that are being pursued by a few teams will have to weigh their decision based on, the interviews, culture, ownership, the overall feel they get by going through the interview process. Because, like we talked about, these coaches, they are interviewing teams as much as the teams are interviewing the coaches, right? So that could be a big reason why the Colts casted a wide net so they get as many you know, fresh perspectives on their situation and their roster as possible. But yeah, as soon as one of these teams, you know, makes a move, it might be the Colts. We don't know, but certainly the sense of urgency will start to grow, and those dominoes, I think, will start to fall maybe as early as next week.
That's Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. Follow him on Twitter at MateColts. He'll give you the latest news as far as this head coaching search goes, and also at Colts.com for the latest information. When we come back, we're going to talk about this head coaching search with longtime NFL insider Clark Judge. Love Clark. We're also going to preview Sunday's AFC title game between the Chiefs and the Bengals, and the NFC game between the Eagles and the 49ers. Can Burrow and the Bengals stay hot? I mean, what do we have with the ankle? We've got a lot going on in that game up there. How about the 49ers? Can they win on the road? They got a seventh rounder at quarterback in Brock Purdy over there. So it's going to be a great weekend of football. We're going to give you our picks coming up, but we're also going to talk to Clark Judge right here on The Last Word, 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
We now return to the offseason home of the Colts, The Last Word, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Welcome back to The Last Word, 93.5, 107.5 The Fan. I'm Jeffrey Gorman. Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, is here. And Matey, I like it. I'm not afraid to say it. I like some STP. Brings me back a few years. They've got a catalog of songs and a bunch of hits.
Well, you know who loves this is JMV. I mean, I produced that show for 2+ years, so I know what buttons to push on a Friday night. This will definitely get him. This will get his foot on the gas pedal on the way home.
Yeah, maybe we'll hear some STP on Saturday night when he's spinning discs on his radio show. But he does a great job over there. But, yeah, give me some STP all night. I'm still in on those guys. They're one of those bands that I'm like, hey, when it comes on the Ray Didio somewhere, I'm like, turn it up. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to some football. We're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook here on The Last Word. Download the app today. You can make every moment more at FanDuel. Earlier in the week, Matey caught up with Clark Judge, the longtime NFL insider who's now covering the league for the Talk of Fame Network and Sports Illustrated. A lot of discussion as the Colts head coaching search continues, and there's going to be a deep dive into the conference championship games this Sunday. Here's Clark Judge.
All right, let's talk Colts, the head coaching search, and some football coming up this weekend with longtime NFL insider Clark Judge, who's now at the Talk of Fame Network. Clark, always appreciate the time tonight. How are you?
Always a pleasure. I'm feeling pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well. We're obviously dealing with the winter ups and downs here in Indianapolis, just like you are. Snow in the mix this week, so we're getting through it. And the Colts obviously still finding their way with their head coaching search. As you know, Clark, they've casted a wide net for their next head man. What do you make of the length of the Colts candidate list and the names on it to this point?
Well, I mean, the names are the names you see in most coaching vacancies. The fact that it's such a wide net sort of indicates that they're not sold on anyone in particular. Now, as I said, you've got people like D'Amico Ryans, Dan Quinn, of course, Jeff Saturday's in there, but people whose names you hear all the time in other searches. So that's the good news. The bad news is that they don't really seem to be making up their mind on anyone in particular. I mean, I think the only ones who have been contacted are you and me, but it either says that they're doing a lot of homework on these guys, that there's not anyone who's really bowled them over. Now, I will say this. I think you've got an advantage. I trust Chris Ballard. I really do. And I think you'll get a good one, particularly because that's a good place to be a head coach. Other than the quarterback, I think you've got your bases covered.
Right.
And you're in a division where you can move forward. But I wouldn't sleep too long on some of these guys. D'Amico Ryans and Dan Quinn are at or near the top of several coaching lists. And I know where Ryan's passed on a chance to interview this week, but he's done that before. He wants to get through the whole process with San Francisco before he makes his mind up on anything, but he'll be hired. I would think Dan Quinn might be. We'll see. But the names that you hear, as I said, I know that Raheem Morris is on it. I think he talked to Aaron Glenn, just going down the list. Didn't they talk to Shane Steichen also at Philadelphia?
Yes, yep, they did.
Yeah, now, he's a guy, I keep my eyes on him because he really intrigues me, what he's done with Philadelphia. And clearly you have some connections with that coaching staff because of Nick Sirianni and Gannon. And I think that's an interesting situation there. He's done a great job with that offense. And certainly they've got talent galore, but they've really got a sustainable RPO offense there with Jalen Hurts. depending on what you get for a quarterback in the draft, I think he's a real attractive candidate and not a name you hear that often. So if you're going to go for a dark horse, boy, I'd have a hard time passing on him.
Yeah, we're spending a couple minutes with Clark Judge tonight, longtime NFL insider, Talk of Fame Network now. And given how the season ended for the Colts offensively, Clark, I mean, the fact that they're picking fourth overall and they could very well draft the quarterback of the future, depending on how they decide to play this. I mean, do you think the Colts need to hire an offensive coordinator type candidate on their list, or does that matter considering what they may or may not do at the quarterback position next year?
Well, I mean, I don't think it matters as long as you've got an offensive coordinator you really trust.
Correct. I mean, look at
who the head coaching candidates are across the board. There are a lot of very high-profile offensive coordinator candidates. But the fact of the matter is we'll say this. You look at the makeup of the conference championship games this weekend. Every one of those head coaches was an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So the suggestion would be, well, then you must hire one. That's not necessarily the case. You've got to have a really good quarterback, too. Over in San Francisco, you look at what Kyle Shanahan's done with Mr. Irrelevant, and you think, wow, maybe that is the direction. I don't buy into that necessarily, but I do think you can't get to the top unless you have a really good quarterback. And I think that's where it starts. And you've got to have somebody he trusts. Be a good offensive coordinator. Doesn't necessarily have to be the head coach. Could be an offensive coordinator. But if it's going to be a defensive-minded head coach, he better find a guy he really trusts as an offensive coordinator, and probably a guy who's got an experience.
All right, Clark, how are you feeling about the championship games this weekend? The Chiefs, by all accounts, they've built a dynasty right there. They're hosting five straight AFC title games. That's never been done before, but their kryptonite, the Bengals, they come calling again. I mean, this is going to be an awesome game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I have a hard time describing anyone as a dynasty. I know what they've done is extraordinary. Andy Reid did four straight with Philadelphia. Four straight in Philadelphia was pretty good. That wasn't a dynasty. You got to one Super Bowl. Here he's gotten to a couple, and I look at this team and think they're going to have a hard time beating Cincinnati for a couple reasons. One is the Bengals are very hot and have Joe Burrow. The second is the Patrick Mahomes injury, and probably the second is the most important one coming into this game. How effective can he be with a high ankle sprain? And it's not exactly news to say that it's going to be very difficult for him to be Patrick Mahomes, because I've dealt with players, and I'm sure you have it too, over the years, who've had high ankle sprains. They take several weeks, and in my history, it would be 4 to 6, something like that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's going to play doesn't necessarily surprise me, but it's going to be very difficult for him to move around in there. And that's what makes him special, is his movement in and out of the pocket. I would expect they call a lot of run plays. I would expect a lot of short passes, anything to take the pressure off of him, but that's going to compromise what the Chiefs do best. I think they're going to have a hard time combating what I think Cincinnati is going to be able to do to them. I think Cincinnati is going to be able to do that to them, what they did with Buffalo, which is go up and down the field at times with regularity. The Kansas City defense has looked pretty good, but they caught some breaks last week with Jacksonville. Drop pass by Christian Kirk, the fumble down to the goal line. They had an opportunity to win that game. Nevertheless, they won it. That's the most important thing. Here, Cincinnati doesn't make those mistakes. Plus, what does Cincinnati have? They have a history. And the history is they're 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
Yeah, beat him three times in the calendar year there of 2022. That's Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider, now with the Talk of Fame Network here on The Last Word. I'm Matt Taylor. Over to the NFC, the Eagles just boat race the Giants, 38-7. Philly top five and rushing, third down, red zone efficiency, and scoring. Jalen Hurts playing out of his mind right now. Is there any way the 49ers pull off this upset with their rookie seventh-round pick quarterback there in Brock Purdy?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they sure could, because they can run the ball and they play defense. And teams that can run and play defense travel well. Mm-hmm. And this is a very, very good team. Now, I'm biased. I covered the 49ers for 6 years, but those were great 49er teams when they had Steve Young. And it was at the post-Joe Montana era. But I look at this team, and they're built to win. I mean, they're built to win this game. There are a couple X factors. One is the Christian McCaffrey injury. That bears watching. Secondly, it's the quarterback. Listen, Brock Purdy is a great story, and what he's done is remarkable. He has as many interceptions in the last seven games as Dak Prescott had in the last game. He has two interceptions. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's very poised. He's very confident.
Yeah.
But what happens when he gets to this point? We've seen him in the playoffs so far. He was okay last week. It wasn't great, but he's good enough to win. The game before, yeah, he was really good in the second half. But when you get to this point, conference championship games in a hostile environment, and you've been to Philadelphia, that's as hostile as it gets. It's going to be really difficult to win there. But when you get to that point, there's a chance that, you know, the nerves take over and the talent not so much. I saw in the 1995 conference championship game in Dallas, and that was Brett Favre went in there against the Cowboys, and every pass in the first half was sailing on him, and it was going over guys' heads, you know, 5 and 10 yards. And afterwards, I remember talking to him, asking what went on. He said, "I was so geeked up. Yeah. I was so geeked up for this game. I couldn't control my emotions." That may happen here. The good news is he's got so many people around him, including Christian McCaffrey, Kittle, obviously, Ayuk. You go down the list, Debo, on offense and especially defense. That might settle the nerves. And so when I said, can they win it? Yeah, they can, because it, turnovers and takeaways. If that defense can force those turnovers and takeaways, if they can force Jalen Hurts to be just a guy within the pocket, they've got a shot, but they've got to keep it close. It's on the defense to keep it close. And if they can, Purdy doesn't have to win it. Other guys can. He just doesn't have to lose it.
Hey, last thing with you, Clark. You're a Hall of Fame voter. We talk to you about this time every year about the Colts representation, if you will. Reggie Wayne, a finalist again for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, fourth consecutive year. He's one of 15 finalists for the Hall, Clark. Is this the year for number 87 for the Colts?
Probably not, to be honest with you. We've got a lot of competition there, and that's competition at the top. You take two guys, Joe Thomas, Darrell Revis. They're probably first ballot guys. In fact, I'd say they are first ballot guys. And so that leaves three spots that are open. Mm-hmm. Well, then DeMarcus Ware should have been a first ballot guy last year. Surprising he wasn't. That's a third spot. Now you've got two spots open. I'm a Rondae Barber fan. He was a top 10 guy last year. I think he would probably make it. So now it comes down to the fifth spot. And you've got three wide receivers. You've got Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, and Andre Johnson. Keep in mind, last year and for the previous 3 years, Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne have been top 15 guys. They haven't made the jump from 15 to 10 to 5. We cut from 15 right. to 10 to 5, and then those five go in. He hasn't made the cut from 15 to 10 yet, but one guy did, and that was Andre Johnson, who was a wide receiver, obviously, and went from 15 to 10 last year. That means he jumps the queue in terms of Wayne and Holt. And it also means he's probably more the favorite. I don't think any of these wide receivers get anything. They'll probably cancel themselves out. I'd look at a guy like Zach Thomas, to be honest with you. Zach Thomas has been a three-time top 10 guy and waiting and waiting and waiting. Either you move him forward or you move him out. I think he's got a real good chance to make it forward this year.
Well, I don't think a lot of people like that answer, but they appreciate it.
No, I don't think so either. I'm sorry. I'm just giving you my opinion.
No, that's it.
And I'm speaking for myself, not for the other 40.
100%. We appreciate the insight on that process and sort of behind the curtain there with Clark Judge. He, again, is a Hall of Fame voter, longtime NFL insider. Follow his work on the Talk of Fame Network. Clark, always appreciate your time and the insight per usual. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football coming up, and we'll talk to you soon after the Super Bowl later on this offseason.
Thanks so much, Matt. Look forward to it.
All right. Big thanks to Clark Judge. I think he's still the best in the business. Maytay, nice job with him. Don't give me the Reggie Wayne beat bullcrap, though. It's time. I mean, I love Clark Judge, okay? I know he's a big Todd Rundgren fan, too, for all you people down in Bloomington. He loves him some Todd Rundgren, but I'm just telling you, easy. Reggie's going in. Put up the numbers against anybody is all I'm saying, Maytay.
Yeah, I think it's time. And I, you know, Clark's obviously, he's speaking objectively, but hopefully this is the year for Reggie. We'll have to wait and see. I don't understand. Is Todd Rundgren from, is he from Bloomington? I didn't know that.
No, he did a teaching stint down there. He taught music down there for, that was kind of a big deal for
really
a semester or two down there. And Clark Judge talked about it. I've interviewed him for years, so he's always brought that up as far as, how about
really?
Rundgren, what he's doing down in Bloomington? But I you know, we don't get a lot of Todd Rundgren talk here in Indianapolis.
No, we do not.
You know
well,
what
we
I mean?
Hopefully we'll hear a lot more Todd Rundgren after some touchdowns being played at Lucas Oil Stadium.
That stinking song.
How about that?
That stinking song. I'll be quick, but that stinking song has been around forever and ever, and it is a favorite of COO Pete Ward.
Yes.
Pete Ward has pushed that button for years, saying the fans love it, and you know what? He's on to something there. So, hey, whatever works, and like you said, Maytay, keep ringing up TDs, and we'll hear Todd Rundgren. Don't forget, you can download the weekly official Colts podcast. You'll hear Matt Pat Taylor, Lara Overton, JJ Stankovitz, myself, and many more. You'll get the latest news, analysis, insight, interviews regarding your Colts this week. We break down the latest with the Colts coaching search, discuss how close the Colts are to making a deep playoff run next year based on what we've seen out of the NFL playoffs so far and the Colts roster. Check all that out right now on Colts.com, the Colts mobile app and Colts Audio Network, anywhere you download your podcast. We're The Last Word. We're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. After a quick timeout, we're going to discuss the possibility of conference championship games moving to neutral sites in the future. I don't want to spoil anything right now, but boy, what a bag of turd that is. And also, I'm telling you, that's a bag. You ain't selling me that bag, NFL.
No.
Also, we're going to give you our picks about those conference championship games coming up right here on The Last Word, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.
This is your weekly fix on Colts football. The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Oh, a little Grateful Dead getting you ready for the weekend. This is The Last Word brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today. Make every moment more. Time now for the Forum Credit Union question of the week. Sunday's going to mark five straight AFC title game appearances for Patrick Mahomes and head coach Andy Reid. What is the record for consecutive conference championship game appearances by a head coach quarterback duo? Mate, we got to go to recent history up north on this one, northeast actually. We know it's up in New England. How many is it?
I'm going to say Brady and Belichick went to seven.
Eight. How about that? Geez. Kenny the Snake Stabler and John Madden, they had five, as well as Mahomes and Reed do with the Raiders from 73 to 77. Visit the Forum Credit Union fan forum section at Colts.com. Interact with other fans online. Post your topic. Participate in various discussions regarding the Colts Forum Credit Union, helping members live their financial dreams. And we're brought to you by our friends at Meijer. Meijer is the official supercenter of the Indianapolis Colts and proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. Let's go to the NFL big story before some Pacer basketball. They're talking about these neutral site championship games in the AFC and NFC because what was happening up there with the Bills game that wasn't remade after the injury, wasn't made up rather. They're talking about turning the game, if it was at a neutral site, up into a College Bowl game feel. Half the stadium was going to be Bills fans. The other half would be Chiefs fans if it worked out that way, but it didn't. Maytay, don't give me this bull crap. Keep your cheap suit. I don't want it. Players are working hard for home field advantage.
Oh, yeah.
And to call for a couple of extra nickels, and I'm talking to the NFL owners here, the neutral site thing stinks for the real fans of that football team.
No question. And unfortunately, you're exactly right. Unfortunately, it all spawned because of the Damar Hamlin situation.
Sure.
Which makes it feel even more icky. I don't even know how else to put it because,
I know.
You know what I mean? They're trying to create like two mini Super Bowls, if you will.
There's only one, guys. You've got 2 months to get ready for that. Whoever's hosting the championship games, make that into a Super Bowl thing. You got a week to get ready for it. Do your thing.
100%.
I don't want to hear it, NFL. Real quick, Maytay, who you got in this week's games? I'm going to start 49ers at Eagles. It's going to be a tough place. I'm going to take Brock Purdy. I like the Disney story. Give me the young quarterback against the Eagles and that tough 49ers team getting in the face of Jalen Hurts.
See, the Eagles, They're gonna turn Brock Purdy into a pumpkin to steal a line from Rick Venturi because he's gonna have to make 5 to 7 heroic quarterback plays in this game, and I think that's gonna be a tall order in Philly in that environment. I can see them getting down early and him having to kind of step outside himself a little bit. So give me the Eagles, who are the best team in football. They have been all year.
All right, you and I will square off head to head on that one. How about Bengals at Chiefs? Go ahead, Maytay.
Yeah, I got the Bengals winning another nail biter, man. I mean, I do. I think this game's coming down to the wire. To me, this game's going to be all about red zone and special teams play. You know, both teams are going to be able to move the ball. There's going to be a lot of yards. But I think the Bengals are just better inside the red zone, and I like their kicking game over Kansas City. And plus, they've done a good job here lately when they've played the Chiefs and had good success. They've done a good job on Travis Kelce. he's not going to go for 14 catches like he did last week against the Jaguars. So
for sure.
I'm saying it, four straight wins for the Bengals over the Chiefs, and they're going back to the Super Bowl.
They have their number. I'm with you on that one. Joe Cool does his thing, and plus the bum ankle. I don't care what anybody says. It could get healed up in a couple 5 days, but it is not something he's going to be putting 100% of his weight on. It's going to affect Mahomes. I like the Bengals. That'll do it for the last word here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Coming up right now, we've got the Pacers and the Bucks from the Fieldhouse. We'll talk to you next week.
She's that boy.